then we're going to sing hymn number 100. Michael.
Okay, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Merry Christmas. Great to see everybody. And we know Jesus is the reason for the season, for sure. So, I know a lot of you got to get going right after this. That's why we had a little gig on Sunday. We had a little nice meal and fellowship, and usually we have something, but tonight we're not. So, I know we're going to be booking. So, anyway, nice layout here Pastor has for us. So, let's open in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you have done for us, Lord, and constantly do, Lord. Lord, we thank you what you had to go through to redeem us, Lord. What your only begotten Son had to go through in our place, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. This evening, we just want to lift up our hearts to you. And realize, Lord, apart from you, we'd be so lost in nothing. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for our pastors. And, Lord, we just want to praise and worship you this evening. In Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I guess we'll just get right into hymn 100. O come, all ye faithful. Yet please stand.
Chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which Micah the prophet spoke, and we read there in Micah chapter 5, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Mike, you can turn to hymn number 92.
Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Continuing on in the gospel according to Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we read this. "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Michael, I'll ask you to come back up. We're going to do hymn number 95. You can stay seated if you'd like, while shepherds watch their flocks by night.
How'd you guys like to have been one of those shepherds that night? Woohoo! Wow! Amen.
Angels, we watched their flocks by night. Angels, your mighty dread had seized their troubled mind. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind, to you and all mankind. You in David's town this day is born of David's line.
Continuing on in Luke chapter 2, now in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And just before we go into the Word of God for a little bit, Mike's going to come back, and we're going to sing hymn number 89, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See Him in a manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven, earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, with us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Amen. Very good singing. Amen.
Well, tonight I'm going to share for a little bit with you a message that I've entitled, The Light, My Light. Is He my light? Is He your light? And we're going to begin in John chapter 1. Probably, if not the most important scripture about the incarnation, it certainly is one that is right up there with any of them. And it addresses this idea of light and darkness and how the light shone in the darkness and how Jesus is the light of the world. Now, sadly, it also addresses the spiritual plight of man, that our tendency is to not embrace the light, to be confused by the light, not to even be able to see the light, and in some cases to even resist the light. But in what we learn elsewhere in the scripture, we see that mankind basically is either inadequate, incapable, or unwilling to embrace light. In John chapter 3, if we were to go there, we'd see how that John writes to us and tells us that those who have no real interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, they run from the light because their deeds are evil and they don't want anybody to see it. And they don't want to embrace that light. They want to get as far away as possible. And yet we're going to see here that God is very gracious in intervening and stepping into the darkness and bringing light into the darkness. And we're also going to see that we're going to light candles here in a little bit. And you know, God's chosen way of getting that light out into the world, Jesus, when He came into the world, He said, I am the light of the world. And we're going to see some verses that allude to that. But then later on, He would say, ye are the light of the world. And He said, a light, once it is lit, a lamp that's lit, you don't put it under a bushel, you don't put it under a bed, you put it on a candlestick for all to see. And the Apostle Paul would say things like, through the foolishness of preaching and taking light to others, that's how the gospel gets out. So in 2025, it kind of falls on our shoulders with the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's just start here in verse 1 of the Gospel according to John. Wonderful verse, very well known. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll back that up in a little bit. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I was talking to a coworker yesterday who told me he had some folks come and knock on his door, and one of the things that they The ideas that they support is that Jesus isn't really God. And I warned my co-worker Josh, and I said, you watch out for that, because if you don't do the right thing with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't understand that he is God, you're in big trouble. And thank God, God's drawing Josh to himself, and he's doing a work in his heart and giving me an opportunity to spend a lot of time with this young man. But, you know, the world would like to say he's not God. One cultic translation of the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, he wasn't a God, he is God. So we'll settle that right now and then move on. The same was in the beginning with God. Beginning of what? Beginning of everything. Beginning of creation. The scriptures tell us, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The Lord Jesus himself multiple times said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and things like that. Speaking of his eternality, he is the eternal Son of God. And so in verse 3, we see something that I know has been surprising to some. How did everything around us get here? How did this planet get here? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was the central figure in creation. John tells us this. And we also see it in Hebrews chapter 1. But John tells us this in verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him, in case you didn't get that, and without him was not anything made that was made. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. In Romans chapter 1, it says, by looking at this creation around us, we can see his eternal power and Godhead. And that was invested in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a man that came here to say nice things and do good things and die on the cross. He is very God of very gods. And when we think of that baby in a manger, sometimes we forget that he is the King of glory. The wise men certainly understood that and made a rather long, pretty much two-year trek to get there to see him as a small child. Debbie told me a couple weeks ago, she said, that's why we keep the wise men over there, the magi over there, because they're on the way. They weren't there for the manger. And that's true. That's true. And here in verse 4, okay, so that's all great that Jesus is who he is. But now it starts to meet our need. In him was life. Before I go on to the next phrase, and what's that saying? That's not just saying he was alive or that he is alive. Of course that's true, but it's what it means is in him is life. He is the one, life comes from him. Life emanates out from him, which of course we know that if he made everything and without him was not anything made that was made, well obviously in him is life. Now here's the good part for us. And the life was the light of men. In ourselves, we have no light. In this world, we certainly are going to find not much other than darkness. But in Jesus Christ, there is light. There is light. And in fact, John, when he wrote his first epistle, a letter that he wrote to confirm believers in their faith and show them that if there were certain things in their life, he spent four chapters looking at this, if there were certain things in their life, they could be assured that God had really genuinely done a work in them. But early in that epistle, in that letter, he wrote this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and this then is the message which we have heard of him. Who's him? The Lord Jesus Christ. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's pretty absolute, isn't it? That's pretty absolute. So verse 4 there said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Isn't that sad? The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not wrap itself around light, couldn't get it, couldn't grasp it, needed help. And we're going to see this, we're going to personalize this a little bit when we're done with the principles laid out here in John chapter 1. We're going to see some practical application very briefly in the life of the Apostle Paul as well. And so Very sad. That word to comprehend means to grab a hold of. Elsewhere it's translated apprehend. Just to, did you ever make that statement? I just can't wrap my mind around that. Well, that's how the world is with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the help of the Holy Spirit and God the Father doing a drawing work, we just can't wrap our minds around it. We can't wrap our hearts around it. We just can't comprehend. We can't grab it, a hold of it. And so God had to come up with a plan. And God would say, glad you asked, because now we see the plan. And here's where you and I come in, by the way, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6 of John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this isn't John the evangelist, John the disciple. This is John the Baptist. Verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I think I mentioned it just a little while ago that Paul, in another place, he would say it's through the foolishness of preaching God has chosen to save some. You know, God could have sent angels to fly around the earth and just like they proclaimed his birth, proclaim the gospel. He could have said, Mike, you're such a mess. I don't want you touching my gospel. I'll let the angels do that. You just sit back and enjoy your salvation, and you're just going to muck it up if we let it in your hands. So, but no, that's not what God did. Now, Paul told us why, it's in the passage that we're going to look at in a little bit. We're not going to go that far into the passage, but he said God did it this way so that when God works through that and people are born again and come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and come into the family of God, when that happens, he said it'll show that just because we're just earthen vessels, we're just clay pots, so that all the glory and the excellency will be of him and not of us. Amen. And so that's why he does this, John the Baptist included. But see, man couldn't comprehend. It's not an accident that the verses are in this order. Man just couldn't grasp it, couldn't get a hold of that light. So what does God do? He sends out a witness. And we have followed, or we should be following in that train. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, neither are we. We're light bearers, but we don't have light that comes from us. We receive what light we have, we receive it from God. But he was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I like that verse. I'm sure God's happy that I approve. But anyway, I like that verse because you know what that tells me? That tells me anybody I talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ has had enough light to either rebel against it or to say, yes, Lord. He is the light that lighteth every man. There's a little bit of light in every person born into this world. Enough that if we respond appropriately to it, we will seek God. Of course, we go to Romans chapter 3, and it's a little discouraging because it says there are none that seek after God. But God can fix that. God steps in and works in our hearts and does something. And I don't want to spill the beans about 2 Corinthians 4 here, so we'll just keep moving. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. We read about that. And the world knew him not. Isn't that sad? Didn't even recognize him. He had no form nor comeliness that we should be drawn to him, Isaiah wrote. People just didn't understand. And there's so many in our day that aren't drawn to him either. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who are those folks? Well, those were the Israelites. Those were Abraham's children. At least according to the flesh, they were. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. But these folks said, no, you're not the Messiah. You're not the Christ. You're not the anointed one we're looking for. And they wouldn't receive him. And so God couldn't do anything in their lives. But here's the good news. Here is something of the gospel in a nutshell. but as many as did receive him. And that word "receive" there, that does not mean that that is the means of salvation directly, because the verse goes on. All that means is they said, look, we'll give audience to this. We'll at least listen. There are a lot of folks in the world that just won't even listen. But here it says this: but as many as received him, to them he gave he, in turn, he gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that what? Believe on his name. And that's more than just believing that that little baby, he came and he was born and he lived in was born in Bethlehem and he grew up and he lived a sinless life and he went to the cross and died on the cross. James, when he wrote, he said, even the devils believe that. Even the devils believe that, and they tremble at the thought of who Jesus is. That's not news. What this is talking about is seeing that you didn't even have any comprehension of what the light was. God opened your eyes, showed you your need, showed you that you had absolutely no hope in and of yourself to save yourself or come into a relationship with God, that you were totally lost because you had sinned, and the wages of sin was death, and you had no way out. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you'll put your faith in what I did for you, you can be saved. That's what's being spoken of here. Not just some kind of little kid head belief. And so as many as received him, to them then in turn he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice it doesn't say believe in, it says believe on. What does that mean? That means putting all your trust on, putting the weight of your sin and of the burden of your soul, putting it all on Jesus Christ. Verse 13, in case we didn't get it, John keeps drilling down on this, and the Holy Spirit helping him, giving him each word in a perfect way, which were born. See, it's not just a head belief. This is a birth. What do you mean a birth? Well, that's exactly what Nicodemus would ask in John chapter 3. What do you mean I need to be born again? Do I need to go back into my mother's womb? No, Nicodemus, you don't get it. Jesus said, I talk to you of earthly things and you don't understand. What's going to happen if I talk to you of spiritual things? He said, no, if you are not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And by the way, not even being able to see it, you can't enter it either. Ye must be born again. Okay, so this, putting these two verses together, this isn't just some kind of head belief. This is a faith that brings about a new birth. Later on, Paul would say that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is a transformative new birth. And here John, right at the beginning of his gospel, said, which were born not of blood, into family you're in. Debbie Krasny, she can't say, well, my dad was a preacher, I must be in good shape. I've heard people say things like that. It's not of blood. Doesn't matter how spiritual your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, it doesn't matter how spiritual they are. The question is, what's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And so it says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. What does that mean, the will of the flesh? The will of the flesh is that part of us that fell with Adam. When Adam sinned, we were then, mankind then got to a point where we were born not in the image and likeness of God, but Genesis chapter 5 says we are born in the image and likeness of Adam now, having yet a something of a marred image of God, but we're carrying that flesh, that sinful nature with us. You think the sinful nature ever decides, you know what, I'm tired of this sinning stuff, I think I'll stop? John said, no, that doesn't happen. Not of blood, and it doesn't matter what family you're in, not of the will of the flesh. Your flesh isn't going to say, I'm tired of sinning. And he goes on, and here's one that's sometimes a little hard for us to swallow, nor of the will of man. Nor of the will of man. It isn't just by sheer willpower, either of the evangelist or of the sinner. It's not just by our will that we can will ourselves into the kingdom and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus would say things like, unless the Father which has sent me draw him, you can't come in. You can't enter into the kingdom. You cannot come to me. Well, Jesus said, you cannot come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, draw you. So anyway, read that all together. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, very familiar passage about the incarnation. Just in case you didn't know who the Word was in John chapter 1, I told you it was the Lord Jesus, but let's verify it. Let's prove it. Verse 14 says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who's that? That's Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is a tremendous passage about the incarnation. Well, I'm going to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this matter of light shining in the darkness and how it affected him. And in fact, he's going to include his entire ministry team. He's going to say we, and probably some of the folks at Corinth as well. He's going to give us the idea that it's not unique unto him. And so in this passage, Paul is expressing his approach to gospel ministry. He also is going to acknowledge in this passage that there are some that the light of God shining, just like we read in John chapter 1, the light of God can shine right in front of their faces and it can have no effect on them at all until God does something. And what Paul's going to say is, God did this for me. And so let's look at this. He's going to make this wonderful proclamation about the effect of the life of the light on his life and on all his ministry team and some of the believers there. Well, any that were believers there at Corinth. And so I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. I have a couple of different verses in your bulletin, but I changed it up a little. Paul says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. You know, it's only by God's mercy that he saves us. God doesn't look down at any one of us and say, man, I need that guy. I need that lady. Wow. That's going to really help me out. I don't know what I'd do without them. He could do just fine without any of us. But he loves us enough to draw us to himself. It's only by his mercy and by his grace. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul said, I just keep going. I'm the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going and going and going. Why? Because what a blessing. What an honor. Having received the mercy of God, we have not only the responsibility, but the privilege to be light bearers to a lost and dying world around us. Paul said, I'm not sitting around saying, oh, I got to serve God today. He's saying, let me at it. That should be our attitude. Let me at it. Lord, give me something to do. What a blessing it is to be able to serve you, Lord. That was Paul's attitude. Now, there was a necessary thing that needed to happen for him to be fit for that. And in verse 2, we read this. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We aren't playing games. We're not being dishonest in our approach. We're not hiding anything from any of you. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. We're not trying to trick anybody into becoming a church member or trick anybody into making some sort of profession. What you see is what you get, basically, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said this, but by manifestation of the truth. What are we doing? Paul said, this is all we're doing. We're just getting the truth out there. We're trying to make it manifest. We're trying to hide behind it. We're trying to make it so that it is impossible for our hearers to ignore the truth. We want them to see it in its fullness and not see us. Some people have said in our generations around this time about a preacher hiding behind the cross. That's basically what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I want to manifest the truth. I don't want to manifest myself. We're not being tricky. We're not being crafty. We're not trying to fool you into anything. We're just putting the truth out there and letting God do with it what he will. And that's where he goes on. He said, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He said, we're content to just let you with the Holy Spirit pricking at your heart and cutting you into the heart and the God the Father doing what he does. We just trust that truth is going to hit you however God wants it to hit you. And we just commend ourselves to you. We're just going to put it out there, let it out there. We're not going to twist your arm for anything because God can do a lot better job than we can. By the way, that's still true in 2025. Sometimes that's not so easy. Sometimes we want to get our fingers in there and say, hey, you know, like, did you ever have a young son and say, Dad, let me help? And you knew it was something he couldn't help with too much. But you left him there and handing you wrenches and doing things like that. However, there was only so far he could go. And that's the way it is with us with this matter of evangelism and getting the word of God out. But Paul had his spiritual head screwed on straight here. He just said, look, we're not going to play any tricks or any games or anything else. We're just going to get the truth out to you, get it manifest before your eyes, and we're just going to let God do the rest and let it up to you. Let it up to you to either accept it or reject it. Back there in John chapter 1, it came to his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So Paul takes the same course. And so he goes on and he gives us a couple very sad comments. He said, but if our gospel be hid, if they can't see that light, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's speaking of Satan, the devil, Lucifer. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. He said, we're manifesting it well enough barring any interference, people should be able to see what's going on, what's being said. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul understood what needed to happen. They needed the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, I like it in Acts chapter 20, where he's talking to the elders of Ephesus, and he said, I didn't hold back anything that was profitable for you, but he said, I testified unto you repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What was that? What does that mean? That means Paul's saying, look, I'm not just telling you need to repent and believe. I'm telling you I repented and I believed. Paul said, I can testify to it. I can testify that is the way to God. Well, with regard to the light, he's going to give a little bit of a testimony here. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, and here's what we've been working towards. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when did he do that? Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Paul's saying that same God that brought light into the universe. And interestingly enough, it was a couple days later till he made the sun and the moon. Originally, he just made light. It was the light of God. Anyway, here in verse 6 again, Paul says this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Isn't that amazing? The God that is so mighty that he can speak worlds into being. Just by his eternal power and Godhead just say, let there be. And it is. And Paul said, there was a day when God said to me, Paul, let there be light. For every child of God, there was a day when God did that. And so Paul goes on here and he said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I could see him for who he really is. Now what do we do with that? Truth unapplied doesn't mean a whole lot. I guess what I'll ask you tonight is, first of all, do you embrace the truth of John chapter 1? That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and that he is light. And just as John the Baptist back there in the early days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ went around and saying he is the light. And later on, the evangelist John, the one, the disciple here, would say, in him is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Do you embrace that truth? That's where we have to come out first. But then the next question I would say is this. All that's wonderful to mentally get a grasp on that. But all I would say in closing is this. Has there been a time, like within in the life of Paul, when the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, when God supernaturally opened your heart and your life and shined light into it, was there ever a time like that? If not, that's the rest doesn't much matter. But I thank God for many of, and I'll say most in this room, that time has come. If not, that's what we're here for as a church, to manifest that truth and then let God do what he will with it. Well, emblematic of that is this idea of lighting of candles. And I'm going to ask Mike, and I don't know who you picked to come up here and help you out. We start out with Jesus came into the world, and he was the light of the world, and he lit a candle, if you will, and later on that light spread to the disciples. And of course, John the Baptist had that light. You guys can get started. And we'll see the auditorium get more and more light in it as the time goes. Rick, if you can come up, we're going to do Silent Night, hymn number 85. You can remain seated. Again, hymn number 85. That's 86, Rick. 85. Yeah, you were close. You were on. Just across the page. Silent night, holy night. quake at the sight. Glory streams from heaven above. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
I pray that it'll be true, that as we go from this place, it won't just be a time of presence and family and all of those things, but it'll be a time when we take the light of the gospel to the folks that we love that are around us, and even those that maybe don't like us, get the gospel out. We've been committed with that. We've had that gospel message committed to our care, and we are to take it out, just like we have our candles lit. Michael, if you can come up and lead us in our closing hymn, and then Pastor Wally will close out in prayer.
Okay, 87, please stand. Joy to the world. He brings joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven, heaven, and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as this curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Amen. Very good singing, guys. Now, I guess Pastor Wally, if you would. Okay, please be careful distinguishing them. And if anybody doesn't have this joy or peace and they feel a prompting in their hearts, if they would like to talk to anybody, talk to any one of us, because this is the reason that Jesus came for us all. Merry Christmas to you guys. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.